Blog Talk Radio.
You are my reward. You are my reward.
touch, you can be healed in the presence of God. But He is the reward of worship. All I want, He is the price. All I want is You, Lord. So come that we can barely breathe. Your glory. Your glory. All I want. Your glory. Your person. All I want. Thank you. our heart, God. Father, tonight I give you praise for your people. I thank you, Lord, for who you are. Oh, God. Thank you, God, that you are a mighty, mighty God. No one can stand against you. No one can defeat you. You are so awesome. Now, Lord, I ask you right now to touch your people. Touch every one of them right now. All over this planet. Let there be a supernatural manifestation of the presence of God in every situation in the lives of your people. Many of your people think, God, as I intercede for them, that you're more for those who don't respect you. And God, I stand here, I sit here and tell the nations, this is not true. God, you care about your people. You care about your people. Yes, you reign on the just and the unjust, but you care about your people. God, we're going to minister to your people, and I ask, oh God, that your people not charge you foolishly. Job didn't. Come on, God. I ask you, God, for a great outpouring upon the hungry souls. Tonight, God, overshadow us with your love. Do that, oh God, in Jesus' name, here on the broadcast. Not for my sake, but for your people's sake. Move, God. Fill with the Holy Ghost. Heal the broken hearts. In the name that is above all name, we pray. Touch now, God. Heal now. Set free now that mother, that father, that family. Touch in Jesus' name. God, we will believe you. We will believe you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. I am so happy that you joined Prophecy Alive tonight. I come to you in the name of Jesus. I feel the joy of the Lord. I feel his presence. And I want you to know we're going to be dealing with the spirit of fear. There's two words that the angelic host of heaven, when God would send a messenger to anyone concerning an issue on earth, the angels would always say, fear not. I'm coming to you with that word, fear not. I don't care what you're facing. Fear not is the word tonight. This is Prophecy Alive, 347-539-5173. If you know someone that's dealing with fear, anxiety, attacks, you call them now. That's right. Just hang up and call them now and tell them you need to be a part of the broadcast tonight. 347-539-5173 by phone and by internet. You tell them www.blogtalkradio.com/prophecyalive. And I'm Roderick, and I'm going to be sharing
with you from two words, fear not. Somebody's on the brink of a magnificent breakthrough. I had a very unusual dream. I see things. My Queen Katrina, she dreams and she sees. And God has been revealing some supernatural things to us. And I want you to know that I know that I know that I know your breakthrough is at hand. It's not coming, it's here. Did you hear what I said? It's not coming, it's here. I'll be right back. Well, praise God, we are back. And I want to share with you concerning the Word of God, concerning fear. You know, so many people are afraid, so many people are fearful. But I want you to know that God has not given us the spirit of fear, but He's given us power, He's given us love, and He's given us a sound mind. So I want to be clear that fear is not something that God He gives us. Fear is something that through the cares of this life might be a loss of job or might be due to a divorce. Sometimes we allow ourselves to be afraid. It may be a sickness. It may be a storm in your life. Regardless of what it is, God has told us in His Word that you do not have to be afraid. So I'm going to share this with you because I don't want any one of you to fear something. God has given us power over all the power of the enemy. You know, every day I talk to people who experience in some way or another fear. Some kind of way fear seems to try and get in there. You understand? So we must understand that what fear is, and we must understand that God's word. You know, a lot of time anxiousness can bring in fear. When you're anxious, the scripture says, be anxious for nothing. Do you understand? Be anxious for nothing. And see, when you are anxious, then that brings in a certain amount of fear. You see, when you worry, when you overexert your emotions, when you become worried to the point where fear comes in to try to help you, but fear is an enemy. You know, how many of you have ever experienced worry? You know, when you're experiencing worry, uneasiness, and then it affects your nervous system. You know, when you are over anxious, typically there is something going on the inside because of something that happened on the outside. And there's a sense of being uncertain about things. You can become extremely anxious. Have you ever been through that? I have. What is anxiousness? Is worried, concerned, uneasy, apprehensive. Don't ever be over apprehensive about things, because those are things that will bring on worry. You see, when you're apprehensive and fearful, you become perturbed, troubled, disturbed, distressed, fretful. Then you know about this, don't you, ladies and gentlemen? When you become agitated, nervous, edgy. You know, but somebody says good morning to you, you say, what's good about it? You know, you got to watch that. Then you become over-tensed and antsy, unquiet, and overwrought there, jumpy. You understand? And all these things can happen. You get uptight about things. And then if you don't be careful, you become jittery, twitchy, squirrely, and, you know, head up. So you have to be very careful of this thing called anxiousness. You can want something so much until you're a feeling of unease. So some people want ministry so much until they become so eager'd, you understand? And they become desirous. They become very impatient. And then when you do that, I'm telling you, this can affect you mentally. And you become full of mental distress, you understand? And uneasiness set in. And then fear has its way with you, the fear of danger, the fear of being broke, the fear of misfortune, greatly worried, earnestly desirous, eager'd. You have to be careful of those things. You must be careful of those things. If you're not, you can mess yourself up. You know, the Holy Spirit causes us to become calm. I love it. I'm going to turn to this before I even go further, because I'm telling you, the Holy Spirit is called here. And you know, Jesus said, I'm going to send you a comforter. You understand? Let's read about this comforter, because I could sense somebody. And St. John, I want to show you something here. Let's go there. Here it is. St. John, the 16th chapter. You're sitting there. I want you to, and you all that have been with me for years, it's good to have your Bible, you know. And you all that's just joining, I want you to get St. John 16. And here Jesus is speaking, and he's saying some things that's very, very important. And I want you to get this. St. John 16. Let's look at verse 1. And Jesus said, these things have I spoken unto you, that you should not be offended. And he said, they're going to put you out of the synagogues. the time is coming that whosoever killed you will think that he doeth God a service. Now, I want you to know there is something that I'm excited about, and you may say, why are you excited about that? I'm not threatened by the laws that are being passed concerning same-sex and marriages, because as an apostle or a prophet, I see this as an opportunity. Because when you look at the local churches, many have only want the local churches to be filled with church-minded folk or church folk or religious folk. God is fixing it. You better hear what I'm saying. God is allowing things to happen, and it's going to shake up. You see, judgment is beginning. It must begin at the house of God. You know, it begins with God's people. So I see this as an opportunity for revival, restoration, and reconciliation and deliverance. You understand? No, I don't agree with the lifestyle. Neither do I agree with the lifestyle of those, many of those who say they love the Lord. You know, Jesus said they say, Lord, Lord, but don't do what I say. So this is an opportunity to those who are truly, truly understand the kingdom. You understand? And God is, can you imagine the greatness of deliverance and revival when the Holy Ghost brings in the conviction? You know, you got to have somebody to convict, you know, because religious pride has set in with many of God's people. They don't get convicted anymore. Come on in here. They don't get convicted. God got to have a group of people that he that can come under that holy conviction. You know, not just I need to be saved. Save me, Lord. Bless me. You know, I'm giving my life to God because I don't want to go to hell. You know, which many of God's people have given their life to God because they just don't want to go to hell and grew up with that thought in their spirits. But there are people that God is going to draw that may not look what many pastors want their church to look like. Oh, it's going to be the halt, the maimed, the spiritually crippled. It's going to be people. It's going to be those same-sex marriages. It's going to be those who are born a man but living as trying to live as a woman. It's going to be the Romans 1, chapter 1 people. And see, God is able. You remember when Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh? He went to Tarsus. And many ministries, they didn't want to go where God told them to go, even in their own neighborhoods. They didn't want those types of people that may not smell the way you want them to smell, may not look the way you want them to look. Come on, pastors, don't turn it off. You didn't get here by accident. Listen, but God is about to take your church through a change. He's about to change the churches of America. And listen, only the people who are truly anointed by God are going to be able to set the captives free. Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Why? Because I've been anointed. See, there's a whole lot of people that the Spirit of God is not on them because they have simply not been anointed. And then Jesus said, I've been anointed to do something, to preach the gospel to the meek. Come on here. I've been anointed to deal with people that the religious, you remember of Jesus' time when he came, it was the religious people who came against Jesus. Well, it's coming full circle. You're about to see who have it and who was just pretending. Praise God. I feel the glory of God. Praise God. Here in St. John 16, he said, listen, there are people going to do you evil and think that they're doing God a service. And St. John 16, verse 5 says this, listen, but now I go my way to him that sent me, and none of you asketh me, whither goest thou? But because I have said these things unto you, sorrow hath filled your heart, sorrow, fear, anxiousness. Listen to this. Jesus said to them in verse 7 of St. John 16, listen, y'all, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, listen to this, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. Look at what Jesus calls the Holy Spirit. He calls it the Comforter, because whenever there's much anxiety and fear, the New Testament church, Jesus began to release what's always been around. The Holy Ghost was in creation. So Jesus is saying, listen, in this new dispensation, after the old covenant, you're going to need the Comforter. Why? You're going to go through things that you're going to need comfort. You're going to see things, beloved, that you're going to need the Comforter. Praise God. Now look at verse 8, St. John 16, at verse 8. And when he is come, he will, listen, reprove the world of sin. Now, the Holy Spirit has to have somebody to come to, ladies and gentlemen. He has to have a world of sin to come to. Listen. And Jesus said this, when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin. He didn't say the church of sin. He said the world, everything in it, and of righteousness and of judgment. Praise God. Now follow me now. Follow me now. Verse 9, of sin because they believe not on me. The Holy Spirit doesn't care how many laws you change. It doesn't change the Holy Spirit. You hear people, you hear it on the news, and people say the world is changing. Yeah, they're changing. But the world is not changing with conviction. The world has its own change. It has its own. And what is the world changing? The world is trying to change the truth into a lie and make the lie the truth. Do you hear me? So Jesus said, the Holy Spirit is coming, and because they don't believe on me, it said it's going to reprove the world of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. In other words, in my absence, he's telling his people, you're going to need something to bring about the righteousness of God. In verse 11, St. John 16 and 11, then he said, of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. In other words, the Holy Spirit comes to judge the world of sin. Why sin? Sin because they believe not. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father and you see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Do you understand? Satan is judged. So no wonder the enemy is mad, because the Holy Spirit is here. Now watch this. Verse 12. I love this. Then Jesus said, I have yet many things to say unto you. Follow me now. St. John 16, verse 12. I have yet many things to say unto you. He said this. He said, but you cannot bear them now. Verse 13. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. Notice, he's called the Spirit of truth, all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will reveal things to come. Watch this. The Holy Spirit, verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall reveal it unto you. Now you got to hear this. The Holy Spirit is the answer for all sin. This is why the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of truth. Listen closely. I wish every pastor every preacher would hear what I'm about to say. There is no truth except the Holy Spirit. Hear it again. You can get some truth that you know about, hearsay truth, all of this truth, tradition truth, church truth. When you get through, there's only one truth. It's given by the Holy Spirit, which is the Spirit of truth. That's why when you go back up to verse 9, the Holy Ghost comes to reprove sin because they believe not, and of righteousness because I go to my Father and ye see me no more. In other words, Jesus was telling them bluntly that I'm the only righteous on earth. So when I leave, I have to send the Comforter, the Spirit of truth, that's going to guide you, because you're going to hear things. People are going to, that's Satan's number one goal. That's why the theme for this broadcast is fear not, because many of you don't understand what's taking place. The number one goal of Satan is to turn the truth of God into a lie about what? Everything. You know, I told somebody once, Satan has a Bible, but this is how he uses it. In the Garden of Eden, he uses what God says, and then he gives suggestions. He asks questions. Did God really mean what he said? You know. So Satan has a Bible too, but every time he reads it, he has a question. Did it really mean what he said? He went to Eve. He asked her a question. Did God really say that you'll surely die? Did he really mean it? That's what he did. Did God really mean that when he said it? He didn't really mean you were going to die. He just don't want you to be like him. So the greatest lie that Satan ever told, it was in the garden. He told it in heaven when he said, I'm going to exalt my throne above his throne. He called himself threatening God. Well, you know that wasn't going to stand. But on earth, he's challenging God's word. Did God really mean what he said when he said he created both male and female? He didn't really mean that. So Satan goes through the Bible and he profane everything that God says. Now, many of God's people are afraid. Fear not. You see, because if what you're trying to do is truth, you wouldn't have to fight for it. Truth stands on its own. You wouldn't have to legislate for it. Truth stands by itself. Truth doesn't need a court date. Come on in here, because truth stands on its own. Now, I'm telling you something. I can feel the presence of God even now, and I'm sensing that many people are going to be delivered from the spirit of fear. You know, some people receive that spirit of fear in the womb because the mother is so full of fear until it goes to the child. Maybe you fear what people think about you. Maybe you fear not having enough money. Fear of public speaking. You may have the fear of flying, being far from home, or spiders, insects, failure or rejection. You may have all types of fears: losing a loved one, disease or pain, fear of death. And see, what we need is the peace of God in the midst of, you know, day-to-day stresses in our lives. You know, and I want you to understand, there are so many fear nots. As I was reading today, There's so many fear nots in the Bible. Fear not is one of the most repeated commands in the Word of God. It's been said that there are 300, watch this, and 65 fear nots in the Word of God. One fear not for every day of the year. Is that amazing? Fear not for every day of the year, including leap year. God doesn't want us to live a single day. Oh, I love you enough to tell you, if you're living with fear, listen, you're missing out on life. We bind that spirit of fear from your mind. We bind those stories that you were told as a child that causes you to fear. And when you really look at it, there are even more than 365, I found out, fear nots in the Bible. We need to remind ourselves, God does not want us to fear. God does not want us to fear. Don't fear. And some people, I've heard people say, I am afraid to even approach God. I'm afraid to pray. I'm afraid of God. Listen, what are you afraid of? The thing that I fear the most, Job said, has suddenly come upon me. So when you fear, what comes on you? Fear. You can't fear. Let me take you to this in the scripture, Psalm 23 and 4. It says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. You are my rod and my staff. They comfort me. Do you understand? Psalm 27 and 1. Watch this. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold, the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Psalm 27 and 1. Psalm 118 and 6. Listen, the Lord is with me. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Now, the famous one, 2 Timothy, and this is what I begin to broadcast with, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Listen to this. God did not give us the spirit of fear, but he's given us a spirit of power, love, and a sound mind, discipline. God has given us that. Psalm 115 and 11, you who fear him, trust in the Lord. God will help us. He is our help and our shield. Psalm 103 and 17. Listen to this. I love it. It said, but from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those that fear him, and his righteousness even with their children. Is this amazing? We got a reason not to fear, but to respect God. Psalm 112 and 1. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who finds great delight in his commandment. Look at this. Deuteronomy, Old Testament here, one of the books of Moses, chapter 31, verse 6. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Look at this. 1 Chronicles 28 and 20. Look what happened here. David also said to Solomon his son, be strong, courageous, and do the work. Do not be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord God, my God, is with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. Do you understand that God will never forsake you? He will never fail you. Psalm 56, chapter 3. When I am afraid, there will be times that you feel that fear. In Psalm 56, verse 3 and 4. When I am afraid, I will trust in you. Trust in who? In God, whose word I praise. In God I trust. I will not be afraid. What can mortal man do to me? Isaiah 41 and 10. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, help you, uphold you with my righteous right hand. Isaiah 41 and 3. For I am the Lord your God, who takes hold of your right hand and says to you, do not fear, I will help you. I love it. Isaiah 54 and 4. Do not be afraid. You will not suffer shame. Are you feeling ashamed? You don't have to feel ashamed. Do not fear disgrace. You will not be humiliated. You will forget the shame of your youth and remember no more the reproach of your widowhood. Matthew 10:28. Do not be afraid of those that's able to destroy. Be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. In other words, God has all, absolutely all power. And 1 John 4 and 8, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. Perfect love casts out fear, because fear has to do with punishment or torment. The one who fears is not made perfect in love. So let me help you get out of fear. Get some love. Glory to God. Get love. You know, I tell people this. When you find fear, hate is not far. Come on now. When you find fear, hate is not far. Unperfected love invites fear. If you want to get rid of fear, forgive people. Let them talk. Loose them. Maybe you were in debt to them, but now they're in debt to you. You forgive them. I guarantee you that fear relief. I'll be right back.
That neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other thing, created thing, will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Can the church say amen?
Amen.
Dietrich? Is that Dietrich Haddon just walked in? What brings you to Fountain of Life?
You can have your way. You can have your way in me, yeah. Can I be transparent for a minute? Some of those rumors that you heard, I probably did it. I'm not a perfect man, I can need it. But it's covered by the blood I've been forgiven. When I think of things I've done, I shake my head. If it wasn't for your mercy, I'd be dead. Lord, just you know how to break a brother down.
Back. This is Prophecy Alive. I am Roderick. If you have a special need or want me to agree with you concerning anything that you are afraid of, feel free to call 347-539-5173. And don't you know that it is the will of God that we understand that when we trust God, there is no need to fear. I mean, we're not trusting in some made-up figment of an imagination. We're trusting in God. And I read a story, 2 Chronicles chapter 20, beginning at verse 1, I read it down to 37, and it's a powerful story concerning this. The Moabites, dealing with the Moabites and the Ammonites and some of the Meunites, came to make war against Jehoshaphat. Jehoshaphat was someone that feared God. And some men came and told Jehoshaphat, and they said, and I want you to study that and read that 2 Chronicles 20, beginning at verse 1. And some of the people came to Jehoshaphat and said, there's a vast army that coming against you from Edom and from the other side of the sea. And it's this event brought out those who trusted God. Jehoshaphat, he inquired of the Lord, and he proclaimed a fast for all Judah. And the people of Judah, they came together. They knew that there's about to be war here. There's about to be battle. Some of you are dealing with wars of finances, wars of kinfolk, wars of sickness. Whatever you're going through, it's a war. The word of God says the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. God's people are going to have to understand that we have weapons, but they are not man-made weapons. They're supernatural weapons. So Jehoshaphat, he proclaimed a fast in all Judah, and the people of Judah came together to seek the Lord as they were instructed. They came from every town of Judah. They came from everywhere. Jehoshaphat stood up in the assembly once all of Judah got there, of Judah and Jerusalem, and Jehoshaphat stood here at the temple of the Lord in front of the new courtyard, and this is what he did. He said, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not the God who is in heaven? You see, there's nothing wrong with a question. You understand? There's nothing wrong with a question. He said, are you not the God in heaven? He said, you rule over all the kingdoms of the nations. Some people forget that, even in government. God rules over all the kingdoms. Now listen to this. Listen to what happened next. He said, O Lord, you're the God of heaven. You rule over all the kingdoms of nations. He said, power and might. He told God about who God was. Not that God didn't know, but God loves it when we acknowledge him. He said, power and might are in your hand, and no one can withstand you. Can you get a mind like that? Whatever you're facing, nothing can withstand God. He said, no one can withstand you. Oh, our God, did you not drive out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel? And give it forever to the descendants of Abraham, your friend. He began to remind God of the promise that he gave to Abraham, which was called a friend of God. Jehoshaphat said, they have lived in it and have built in it a sanctuary for your name, saying, if calamity comes upon us, whether the sword of judgment or plague or famine, we will stand in your presence before this temple that bears your name and will cry out to you in our distress, and you will hear us and save us. Now look at what happened. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jehiel, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite, a descendant of Asaph. As he stood in the assembly, he said, listen. This was the Spirit of God upon this man. He said, listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all you who live in Judah, in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says. Do not be afraid. Do you see that? Do you see that? The Spirit of the Lord fell. Come on. It came upon Jehaziel. He said, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army. This was no little war here. He said, and I want you to think of this, whatever you're going through, he said, listen, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You have to put your battle. Glory to God, do you hear me? I don't care what it is, put it in God's hand. Say this, it's the Lord. He said the battle is not yours, but God's. It's God's battle. And as they began to sing, according to the instructions, look what God did. They used that weapon of praise. You know, many places think that weapon of praise is just jumping and shouting and you know, they think that's all the weapon. And then going back to do what they want to do. But these people were acting in obedience. God said, don't be afraid. Don't be discouraged by this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Now, in verse 22, they began to sing and praise. The Lord sent ambushes against the men of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir, who were invading Judah, and they were defeated. Listen, when it's God's battle and you take your hands, we take our hands off of it, the enemy will always be defeated. The men of Ammon and Moab rose up against the men of Mount Seir to destroy and annihilate them. After they finished slaughtering the men from Seir, they helped to destroy one another. And the kingdom of Jehoshaphat was at peace, for his God had given him rest on every side. Do you see that? Do you see that? God will let the enemy destroy each other when we trust God. I want you to notice, yes, life can be difficult. And being a believer in a world that is by far unbelieving, it poses a whole lot of problems. The world does not know Jesus. The world does not love him. He said it in his word. He said, they hated me, they're going to hate you. That's worldly-minded people. Unfortunately, we have worldly-minded people in the church. But God's going to fix that too. The world does not understand why Jesus came. But you do. You know him. You love him. And you do understand why he came, don't you? He came to save us from sins and to give us new life. He came to bring peace, not worldly peace, but peace. He came to give us joy, abundant life. He came that we might have a restored fellowship with God. You know this, don't you, believer? And you also know that through salvation from sin, God has sent the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, and God has given us life in this world. Even though difficult times come, yes, there's an evil spirit that comes to battle against a believer. The struggle against sin, struggle against pride, struggle against lust, struggle against greed and boasting and various wantings. You may want a lot, but you have to ask God, is it his will? And on the outside, you struggle against illness, some of you in poverty, marriage problems, job difficulties, unsure future, and more. And you might be facing right now a serious struggle. Or maybe you've recently had to deal with a difficult situation. Maybe you fear that one is coming. As a believer, what do you do when life is coming down on you hard? When there seems to be no way out? When your relationship with God is being affected? When you are worried and afraid or anxious? When you are in distress? What do you do when you're facing monumental obstacles? How do you resist temptation? I want you to think, how do I flee from evil? How do you believe beyond your ability to understand how your problems can be solved? is in the Word of God. Listen, Israel and Judah were divided. I just read you Jehoshaphat, spoke to you concerning Jehoshaphat. Who was he? He was the fourth king of a separate kingdom. He's fourth king now. He was very zealous. He was a follower, and he believed in the commandments of God. Now, I want you to know, read the story of this man. He sought God with his heart, 2 Chronicles 22. God gave him a remedy. We have to trust God. He is able to do everything but fail. What did he do when the enemy came against this young man? He said, God, first of all, you're the God of our fathers. You're the God of heaven. You spoke to Abraham. You have to remind God of what God says. He wants you to. Could it be that many of your trials and could it be that many of your tests is to bring you to deeper than, I know God is able. But you could know God is able. But honey, when you're facing something, then the reality comes in. It comes in. He said, you're the God of our fathers. You're the God of Abraham. You're God of Eve, of Noah, Moses. Who is this God? Many people boast in the history of the United States, the history of the world, all history. God is the God of history because it's his story. He lives in heaven. He is God, the God of holiness. Heaven is the holy dwelling place of God. God is above all things. He's pure. He's righteous. He's incapable of sin. He is the ruler of the nations. He is the God. He is sovereign. God don't have to try to get in everything, try to control everything like man wants to control people. Man wants to control what you do. You know why? Because God is sovereign. God has given us a choice. God doesn't take a gun and shoot it. So stop blaming God for stuff that happened. God is sovereign. All the people in authority, they belong to God. He is all powerful. He is the God of power. He can do as he wishes. That's reality, people. He can create. He can destroy. He can tear up any force that he wants to. He is God. Is he big or small in your mind, in your spirit? Is he all powerful or is he a wimp in your spirit? Does he love you or does he just put up with you? How you perceive God, listen, ladies and gentlemen, how you perceive God affects how you respond to him. Some people are not in prayer. They're not seeking God because of their perception. The people of Judah knew who God was. That is why they looked to him and trusted him. We should trust God because he is holy, he is king, and he is all powerful. And because he loves us very much. And do you understand? He can't be controlled. He must be worshipped. Come on in here. Joseph has said, listen, you gave the land of Canaan to the descendants of Abraham. God chose Abraham, promised him that he would be a great nation. God raised up Moses and through many miracles delivered his people from the bondage of the Egyptian. You know that. He parted the Red Sea. He destroyed the Egyptian. God raised up Joshua and the Hebrew armies to take the land of Canaan. God planted them in the land that they must be, they must bear fruit. What are you dealing with today? You have been stolen from. You're dealing with the same spirit of Pharaoh that Moses dealt with. It's taking on a different form now. I promise you, if you will seek the Lord, if you will seek Him with all of your heart, you're going to find out that the same thing that God did in the days of old, He'll do for you. Matthew 11:28, what do you do if you're out of fellowship with God? Matthew 28, come unto me, all ye who are laden, heavy laden. He said, I'll give you rest. He's not talking about death. He's talking about, I'll give you a spiritual rest. Now, Jesus said, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. Matthew 28:20. Jesus said that his word will not pass away. His word and the words he's spoken will not pass away. Matthew 13:31. He said that he would raise you up on the last day. St. John 6:40. He said that whatever you ask in his name, he will do it. St. John 14:14. God has given us many promises. You can have the greatest abundant life right now. I'm not talking about in the by and by. I'm talking about in the now and now. But you have to trust him. Come on, you have to trust him. Because of who God is and what he has already done for you. Many of you have never given God your heart. I mean totally. But yet God loves you. He protected you. You can trust him. You can trust him even more for your future. Have no fear. He will continue to uphold you. He will continue to to love you. God has a great plan for your life. A great plan for your life. I'm telling you, God has a powerful plan for your life. I'll be right back. Got to bless God in spite of. Don't be weak. You've been a believer all these years. Be strong in the Lord. Father, tonight I give you praise for your people. I thank you, Lord, for simply obeying you. So many obey you for status. They obey you for fame. I'm obeying you. My queen and I, simply, for obedience is better than sacrifice. And God, I thank you that you are moving by your spirit. Holding on. I don't want the blessings and the promotion to find me worried or anxious. I want the promotion of the Lord to find me yet faithful in praising God. something good happen to you, ladies and gentlemen, you'll get a smile on your face and you'll jump and shout. God is looking and seeing who prays me simply because I'm God. Simply because I'm God. I'll be right back before I close. I thank every one of you for tuning in tonight to the broadcast, and I'm going to continue to pray for you. I know that obedience brings miracles. And as I was telling my queen tonight, and I said, Lord, do you want me to go on tonight? And then the Holy Spirit spoke to me. He said, tell my people, fear not, fear not. Be encouraged. Listen, fear not. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. Keep your faith up. Come on. Keep your faith up. Don't let your faith down. Don't let it drop. Stay excited. Miracles are not on the way. They are in your way. Ask God to open your eyes and see them. Until next time, God bless you.
We call you home.